shot! Oh, baby, what a play!
This is Jeff Bedoten with Believe in Chiefs on the Believe Network, Kansas City's number one sports podcast network, the only place with a show for every team in KC and more. We believe in our teams. Do you believe? On this week's show, NFL draft writer for NFL Media, Eric Edholm, joins former Kansas City Chiefs offensive lineman Joe Valerio. Eric, great to have you on, man.
Just adjusting my hair there, you know, for anybody who might be watching, right?
But you do have a YouTube channel, so that's I'm glad you did that.
Thank goodness. Yeah, I'm in dire need of a haircut before the draft, boys. Let me tell you, I've been bunkered down, hunkered down, whatever the word is, you know, in my draft cave. Yeah.
Eric, that's what we want. We want the mad scientist of the draft. That's what we want to hear from right now. That's how we want to hear it. But yeah, this kind of off season has been enough to make your hair go wild, hasn't it? I mean, it's been the NFL does not disappoint when it comes to giving us things to talk about each week, for sure.
No doubt. I mean, it really is. You know, we always say, "Well, there is no off season." No, I mean, there isn't, right? I mean, we'll take. Well, everyone will get a little well-earned vacation, but then, you know, mini camps and OTAs happen. I mean, there's rarely a week during the calendar outside of, if we make it past July 4th, we're usually in good shape. But, you know, even last year, Baker Mayfield was traded on July 7th, right? I mean, we can't even get a week off in July. But, yeah, in this draft in particular, guys, I think just big picture, you know, just making a few calls the last few days, no one really knows how it's going to go. You know, there's a lot of question marks. Last year felt a little more firmed up by this point. You felt like you kind of had an idea how the first half of the first round would go. This year, a lot of mystery out there.
Is there a position or a team or a need that's giving you pause and not, you know, letting you sort of solidify it? Like what if you had to put your finger on a few things, what would you give our listeners a couple of bullet points on things to look for or not to look for coming up in this draft?
Well, last year, a little bit unusual these days in that we only had one quarterback in the first 70 some odd picks, 72 or three, whatever it was. And only one in the top 20, you know, so it didn't really, that lent towards more of a predictable top 10. You know, it was probably my best mock draft in years, accuracy wise, you know, just because you felt like you had a good feel of how things were going to go, even with a couple little surprises. So this year, with potentially four quarterbacks going in the upper parts of round one, maybe even a fifth at the end of round one, I personally don't think Hendon Hooker will get in round one, but he could. I mean, it wouldn't be stunning. So that changes things. You've also got the Jalen Carter factor. You know, there's some off the field stuff that people are, you know, questioning. It might require some ownership sign off. You know, he was the Quinnen Williams a couple years ago when he was sort of viewed as the best football player in the draft, right? You can make that case for Carter. So not knowing where he's going to go certainly throws a wrench, and then no maybe early run on receivers or tackles. So again, it's just kind of a different feel than what we've seen in recent years.
Eric, who are you mocking to the Chiefs right now, and why? Why would that person be a good fit?
I have to look back at who I had in the last mock draft, because I'm actually working on the current final version of this, which apparently is going to sit in some editor's hands for a couple days, which makes me very nervous. But so I can't remember who I gave him last time, so I'll have to kind of tap dance here on the fly. But I'm still pondering, you know, what the options are going to be this year around. And
that's actually better, because that we, you know, rather than one guy, maybe a few guys who might be in that area that would kind of, you think that the Chiefs might think about.
Well, in full disclosure, guys, the only reason I came on is to pick your brains to get a better mock. What do you guys think?
Yeah, well, touche, Eric. Yeah, exactly.
What do you, man? At least I'm honest.
Touche, Eric, because I thought Jeff was going to tell our listeners that you were mocking the Chiefs there for a second.
Oh, amazing. My goodness.
Amazing was not the best.
What is Jeff asking here? You know, because, you know, and now if you take that, you know, if we would have taken that out of context, just say, you know, why are we having Eric on? He's mocking the Chiefs, but the draft.
Kind of hard to mock a team that's won 66 games and two Super Bowls in 5 years. I'd have to dig pretty deep, but I think I would probably – to eventually get to your question here, I would think wide receiver, you know, depending on how many are off the board. I would think pass rusher, because it's, you know, I mean, he's still, I think, even with, you know, the guy they signed, Menehu, and, you know, even with Carl Aftis in year two, and, you know, guys like Mike Dana still on the roster and whatnot. I mean, I think they still have room for another one. I could see a tight end at some point. I don't know if round one's in play. A tackle, offensive tackle, certainly has to be on the menu at some point. Is that the right spot in the draft? We'll see. So, yeah, I would say somewhere on that defensive front, somewhere at receiver would be in play, and, you know, some other positions as well.
Well, Jeff, somebody's been reading our diary.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Because Eric, we're right there with you. I mean, Jeff and I have been talking about that leading up to this. Has there been any move in free agency, Chiefs or you know, heavy competitor of the Chiefs, that our listeners would be interested in hearing, that has there been any big move that's affected this draft for any team that you can think of? Because it started out hot and heavy, right? The free agent, it kind of slowed down a little bit as we've gotten closer to the draft. It was moving there for a while.
It was, yeah. I don't know that there was a single move that you could point to. You know, for instance, even division rival Raiders, you know, getting Jimmy Garoppolo, like, big move for them, right? Even if we know, I don't think that takes them out of quarterback. I really don't. And they've been doing more than due diligence on the top. They've had all the top quarterbacks in. They've certainly done their homework on the second tier and third tier guys at that position as well. There's not a big second tier this year. It's mm-hmm. a lot of first and a lot of third tier, right? So, but still, they are sitting in that kind of perch at number seven, where they can kind of see how the top of the draft plays out. And I'll say this, there's been a lot of buzz about the possibility of the Texans passing on a quarterback at two. If that happens, you know, the floodgates open up, who knows what's going to happen. All of a sudden, Arizona's very much in business at number three. Multiple, you know, three different quarterbacks on the board. A team like the Raiders certainly could get aggressive. Think about their front office too. I mean, Josh McDaniels and Dave Ziegler, both from New England. Monty Austin Fort, the new GM in Arizona, cut his teeth in New England under Bill Belichick. You know, and really, you know, it's funny how many New England guys control the top of the draft. Yeah. You've even got Mike Vrabel kind of stalking and possibly in quarterback mode. And you've got Houston with Caserio in New England's pick in 14. So there's a huge former Patriots flavor at the top of the draft. And I wouldn't be shocked if a couple of those teams end up doing business in a trade, and it might involve a quarterback. So there's just there's a lot of things to juggle this year.
Great stuff there, Eric. Well, betonline.ag is your number one source for all your basketball info, stats, news, and scores. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest player reports for this year's pro basketball playoffs. BetOnline is always your sports information headquarters this season, as we have you covered for all your sports wagering needs, basketball, MLB, NHL hockey, right to UFC and boxing. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to get your betting info, including live betting options and your favorite casino and card games you can play right from your home. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. Be sure to use your promo code BLEAV, that's BELIEVE, to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts. We're here with Eric Edholm of NFL Media, the NFL Draft Czar. Is that the title you said to go with? I can't.
Grand Poobah is what it is. Grand Poobah.
Eric, a lot of Chiefs fans are really been a lot of hubbub and talk over the offseason about the wide receiver position. It's funny because it's like, well, you were able to place Tyreek Hill pretty capably, so you maybe relax a little bit, but there's a lot of – so just kind of take us through – your thoughts on maybe the wide receiver class and maybe a couple guys that might fit the Chiefs if they do draft one at some, and they likely will at some point.
Yeah. And I think, late 20s is going to be a really interesting spot, you know, depending on what a couple teams in front of them do, like the Giants and whatnot, you know, when the first one goes off the board, for that matter. In my opinion, Jackson Smith and Jigba is, and I think by a healthy margin, the best receiver in this class. I kind of liken him to a Julian Edelman, Cooper Kupp type. I think he's that kind of, you know, slasher. He can take a short pass and rip off 17 yards. He can, you know, he can run an over route if you need him to, crossing routes. He's got that, you know, good build, but also has the quickness. So I think he's the top guy. But the question is, you know, who's number two? I think you could get three or four different answers. I really do. And that kind of reflects on this class. Not that it's bad, but first of all, we've been so spoiled the last four or five years in the draft, right? That this would be a pretty respectable group by pre-2017 or 18 standards, I would say. So it just lacks great size. So there's a few longer receivers who I think will do okay. And even some of the smaller guys didn't test the way you would normally expect, right? We have 173-pound Jordan Addison, 175-pound Jalen Hyatt, 170-pound Josh Downs, and you know, those guys are running in the 4.4s, which is good. It's fast, but it's not fast for 170 or 180 pounders. So, you know, there's a little bit of, there's some warts on a lot of these guys. And I think there are a lot more Robins than there are Batman. Batman, I guess, would be the plural of that. So Batmans. But yeah, it's, I think it's, you'll see some pretty solid sleepers in day three, maybe not amazing, but you know, a couple guys will emerge, and you know, some good respectable players on day two who are better than guys drafted ahead of them. But I don't know this is going to be a banner year, but there are definitely receivers to be had, especially for a team like the Chiefs. And if you think about it, I'm like, okay, you're replacing Mecole Hardman, we can find that, we can find that in this draft class.
Eric, what do you think, what do you think makes the NFL draft what it is? I mean, Let's be honest. I mean, you know, it's the most hyped. I mean, you know, as we're in the basketball playoffs right now, we know basketball and the NBA is popular. Hockey, we could probably put aside a little bit. It's probably still a niche sport for a lot of people. Sure. You know, baseball draft sometimes goes off, and I don't even know if anybody knows it happened. you know, with all the rounds that they have, like, what do you think makes it what it is? Is there some secret sauce that makes it want to be a nationally televised hyped event like this?
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's funny because the NFL didn't ever view it that way, as you know, back in the day, right? It was held in this smoky hotel ballroom in New York or Philly or wherever they had it back in the day. And mostly New York City. And then there started to become more interest in the league and kind of the minutia of the league, and guys like Dr. Z got into the details of the inner workings of the league. And then you had people like Mel Kiper and Joel Buxbaum from PFW as guys who, you know, really pulled back the curtain, I think, on how the draft worked. And I always pay respect to that, because I don't know that we would have the draft culture and obsession that we have now, to where you can have it in Las Vegas, you can host a rolling road show and take it to Kansas City, you can, you know, Cleveland, Chicago, Philly, everywhere they've been the last 10 years. And I think part of it is, like, you know, it's almost, for some people, kind of like the NCAA tournament. It's an event, and it's not a one day thing. It's a multiple day thing where you can now wager on it legally. You had to do it illegally before. You can fill out, you know, your mock drafts and see how good a scout you are. You know, anybody who follows college and NFL has some sort of rooting interest in what's going on. So it's a crossover of college football fans and NFL fans all coming together in a weird sort of pool of, I mean, and plus we're a little football starved by this point. We've gone through the first few phases of withdrawal, and it's like, man, all right, now we need something. And this for years was the one oasis until, you know, end of July. So a little different now, but still you can have this a 3-day primetime event and have it rake in the ratings.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was 32 short years ago that I was drafted. My God, that's a really awesome long time ago.
Do you remember the day? Do you remember the actual date you were picked? It was April whatever, or
Can you believe I don't? I don't remember the date.
I don't know. I just crazy didn't know if that, that was something. Yeah.
I mean, I remember up on everything else about it. But back then, the second round wasn't even televised. So
right, exactly. So, maybe you get a couple picks, but if you're lucky, right. Exactly.
Yeah. And they happened that year. They happened to have one of the longest first rounds in history. Every team had used, I think back then it was still the allotted 15 for the first round. And by that time it was over. So I was getting updates on the radio at that point on our local radio. We didn't even have like satellite radio back then, right? Or streaming. Amazing. There was no streaming service in 1991. So it was basically in Philadelphia. It's KYW, which is the local news station, and AM. And they would just give updates like every 15 minutes whenever they would give sports updates. And that's
and
how
you had
we
to
were...
wait till the newspaper the next day, right? To see who got picked. Yeah.
Yeah. It was wild. So I mean, it's amazing. I mean, I know that's 3 decades. So that's a long time for things to change, but man, how things have changed. Yeah. That's why I was asked, made me think about it and wanted to ask you your opinion on that. Cause is it the Goodell factor? Is it him? His Hollywood sort of mystique have something to do with it, and his ability to sort of raise the stakes of the game. It just seems like, maybe that's coincidental, or I don't know.
I think Eric's point too about the crossover, whether you're a college football fan or an NFL fan, is popular. And then the other thing I think that I know this is fun for me too, is like, you kind of get to play GM. Like, oh man, what a great pick. Oh, they should have done this. What are they doing? It's just like kind of like an NFL fantasy for something for fans.
Right. Absolutely. And by the way, you were drafted on April 21st, 1991. Okay. I just looked that up.
Thanks, so, Eric.
Happy draft anniversary in a couple of days. I agree. I think the, like filling out your brackets, this is what I'm thinking how I did it as a kid, like I would fill out my brackets and I would fill out my mock draft. They would do a blank mock draft in the USA Today. And I would go out and get one on the Saturday morning, Friday afternoon, whatever, fill it out, the day before the draft. And I think there was just a generation of dorky football fans like me out there who are now middle-aged, right? And they're still... And it's grown up along with us. And when they first put it on TV, people probably thought, what in the world are they broadcasting? Picks being read off of a microphone. But, when John Elway's come along and Bo Jackson's come along and these unicorns, it draws people in a little bit. And then you can get them in a little farther. Oh, the Notre Dame kid just got, I don't know. So it just has so many different tentacles to it that makes it a quirky and fascinating event.
Do you, Eric, do you have a couple favorite prospects in this draft? And I don't mean like a Bryce Young that everybody knows, but like a couple guys you're like, oh man, that you've kind of really fallen in love with during the process as you're scouting these guys.
Yeah, let me try to think of a good little variety here if I can. I mean, I mentioned Jackson Smith-Njigba, he barely played this year. I mean, he played, the equivalent of about a game and a half this year because of injuries. But I got reminded how good he is. I mean, everyone sort of fretted over his speed or his lack of speed. I mean, he's like a 4.5 guy. I don't think he's slow, right? But Cooper Kupp was a 4.7 guy on a time speed. I mean, anyone who watches him doesn't think he's slow because of his gear changes and his direction-changing ability and how he slips out of tackles. Who cares if he's slow, right? I mean – so that's what I kept coming back to every time I watched him, was him making either a contested catch when he couldn't gain, huge separation, or if you gave him enough time, he was crafty enough as a route runner to get open. So he's definitely one. Paris Johnson from Ohio State, the more I've watched him, I know these are a little higher on the list, but the more I thought, wow, he's really rock solid. And, and he'll show those little flashes of nastiness. And he's a smart kid. And he's an impossibly large human being. I'm a little surprised there hasn't been more buzz on him, right? Just with his length and his athletic ability. But two position starter, two right guard, left tackle. And another one who is, I think at the Senior Bowl was when the crush first sunk in. Keanu Benton, a defensive lineman from Wisconsin. I just thought, who is this junkyard dog? I'd watched him before, but it was I'll tell you, and Joe, obviously, being in the trenches and everything, but I mean, like, watching one-on-one drills up close, you know, when your eyes are right there and you can watch every hand movement and every little bit mm-hmm. of leverage and how their feet are and their hips and their, how much they're bending and not bending, up close versus on tape or TV yeah. is a massive difference. And this kid was firing off the ball and giving people problems. So Keanu Benton definitely grew on me as I watched him dominate Senior Bowl and then, you know, go through the combine and test pretty well too.
Okay, so I'll make it personal again and come back to a question about the FCS. What are you thinking there? I mean, I know there's a lot of Cody Mouch. There's a lot of look at him. I think he might be listed as the number one. And, of course, the big guy, which is interesting, right, which is unusual. Usually, I don't know, usually a lot of times at the FCS level, it's the speed or some skill specialty position because they were – you know, not highly recruited, and offensive and defensive line are such mature positions. Usually they're saved for the SEC, the big conferences, but anybody you looking at there, including Cody that's kind of standing out that could be one of those, wow, you know, Jerry Rice type moments, like, man, there was somebody that was Walter Payton. You know, who's the next Walter Payton or Jerry Rice in this draft?
Yeah, I don't know that there's quite that guy in this draft, but there are a few who are fascinating for sure. And, you know, the thing about if you're interested in Cody Mauch, for instance, is, okay, he played college tackle, probably like him at guard or center. Mm-hmm. Most teams seem to. You know, he looks like he could play there and do well at the Senior Bowl, snap the ball well. I mean, I think he's going to be a solid, you know, late second, early third round pick, mm-hmm. top 75, let's say. Somewhere between 45 and 75, I would say. And you feel pretty good about him because North Dakota State has produced, like, they're the one school of all those FCS schools that I think you feel like is a offensive line producer, you know, and you say, okay, I can trust these guys. They've produced other guys before. There's a comfort level there, I guess. And he's a good kid. I think he'll work hard and do well. Two other ones, though, that have a chance to be, including one who plays Rice's position, Tucker Kraft from South mm-hmm. Dakota State. I think we're sleeping on him a little bit. Mm-hmm. And it's based on some conversations I've had, based on what I've seen. You know, I thought a good player, not a great one. But then I started watching and kind of seeing stuff that I didn't see before as I got to know him a little bit better. He's got some burst to him. Remember, you know, Dallas Goedert went to South Dakota State as well. So, you know, again, there's a trust level in the sense that this is a program that's produced a high-level tight end before. Tight end's a tricky position, as you guys know. And I think the kid has the athletic traits, the length, the will as a blocker. He's not there yet technique-wise, but he gives the effort. And I think some surprisingly explosive ability as a receiver. So he's kind of in that second round range, I would say. He'll probably be he might be the first FCS guy off the board. Andre Yosivas from Princeton, I think, is going to be, he's sort of similar to Christian Watson for the Packers last year we saw. Not quite as, I don't think he'll go 35th or whatever. He'll go probably around lower than that, maybe. McClendon Curtis, the kid from Chattanooga, another Senior Bowl player. Yeah. I didn't know anything about him before I went down there. I'd seen the name, but I didn't really watch him. And I thought he held up well at tackle. I thought he held up well at guard. It's gotten to the point where most people are saying now maybe he could play some tackle in the NFL. Probably a guard, but you never know. So, yeah, the FCS players, this is an okay crop by recent standards. Not great. There's no superstar, but a few solid players there. And Kraft and Yosivas, I think, are the two that have a chance to be, you know, possibly very good, Pro Bowl good.
Bryce Young is going number one, right? Like, if you think, or what have you been hearing?
I think so, yeah. In fact, I was, you know, when that trade went down with the Bears and Panthers, my immediate reaction was, I think they're taking CJ. And I really just sort of thought I could see Frank Reich taking mm-hmm. him. Like, I could see it. And you sort of just, I don't know, maybe I talked myself into it. And of course I called the Panthers. They weren't going to give it to me. No, they didn't give it to anybody else either, you know, but it slowly leaked out that Young is their guy. Here's the question I'll pose. I don't know if this is true or not. This is just me just talking out here. Is it possible that Bryce Young wasn't Frank's first choice? I don't know. That's a question I would ask him at his first press conference, right? Mm-hmm. I think the owner, David Tepper, has a hand in Young being the pick. I do. I don't know that he made the final call, but I think that's his preferred choice. I'd love to know, you know, who else, the other people who Scott Fitter, the GM, and Reich and Josh McCown and who, you know, and Caldwell and all these guys in the building. Well, who do they like first? They won't tell us, but that's what I want to know.
Hey, Eric, has it, I feel like I have you on 60 minutes here. I'm asking all these tough questions, right? I'm not asking you. Jeff's asking you.
No, I like it.
Eric, what's your favorite color? I mean, Joe's
throwing you. I'm kind of a burnt sienna guy. Yes.
He's throwing you all the softballs. But what do you think having the receipts? Yeah, I'm trying to be pop culture-y there.
Yeah, right.
My daughters will be proud. Do you think having the receipts has made a media person or a journalist job harder when it comes to this kind of prognosticating drafts and doing things? Because I'm sorry, I don't mean to get controversial, but that Merrill Hodge, Skip Bayless clip that was going around about Johnny Manziel. Like,
I've seen it.
I tell you, I had to watch it like four times because it's a train wreck, right? But man, whether you love either of those guys, good or bad, like the whole thing, it just made me think like, man, like, geez, like, you know, you got to have an opinion and you want people to have an opinion, but man, you don't also want to be coming back X amount of years later and somebody going, what were you thinking? You know, cause you know, there's a lot of people out there that went, Patrick Mahomes going in the first round. No way. Cause it happens, right? Cause people have their opinions on what a good player is. So I was just wondering, curious, if that makes your job harder, you know, I'm sure it does, right?
Hi, my name is Eric Edholm, and I gave Patrick Mahomes a B-. This is a cleansing process. I'm volunteering this information because it is good for all of us. My point is this. I don't think you should be ashamed of having a bad take at one point.
I definitely not.
You know. Like, who in the world was predicting that Mahomes was going to blowtorch the league, right? You have to have a little bit of perspective, too, on the other side. Criticism is fine. I've never shied away from that. Have I cringed at some of the things I've written? Of course. You know, like, you're writing a story and you think, oh, yeah, I wrote about this once before. And you start looking at it two or three years old, let's say, and you're reading through it and nothing is holding up. Like, you know what I mean? To the point where you don't even want to link to it in your own story, you think, oh God, none of that came true. So yeah, it's part of the deal. You're going to be wrong. You know, what is it? The best, that the leading batter in MLB hits 340 maybe, right?
Right.
Mock drafters are lucky to hit 200. I mean, so if you're doing this, you have to have a thick skin. You have to have a good sense of humor about it. You have to put it in perspective. I don't think it makes the job harder, but having billions of sets of eyes is both a blessing and a curse on what you do, and something will always come back to bite you, I'm sure.
No, that's a great answer. Thank you. I thought it would be fun to talk about.
I love the clip too, so I appreciate the question. Yeah,
great perspective there, Eric. Well, Eric, tell people where you can, where listeners can find you on NFL.com, your Twitter handle, MySpace page, whatever you want to.
Yeah. I got a hot MySpace page. You guys aren't ready for that. But Twitter is like pretty much my, I do have a Facebook page. Don't use it really, but Twitter, Eric with a C _ Edholm, EDHOLM, and then NFL.com. I've got final mock, I think, comes out on Monday of draft week. I've got a Jahmyr Gibbs story coming up. Going to talk to him this week, and got some other stuff. My top 100 list just came out recently and doing a little news along the way. And I'll be coming to Kansas City, and it's been a while, man. I haven't been there in forever. I'm a Mizzou guy and I love Kansas City, but I'm excited to finally get back and see some drafting.
Awesome. And Eric, don't forget to go through all those little slips of paper you used to fill out back to the 91 draft and see maybe where you had me.
Right. I want to see where you had Joe going. Yeah.
I didn't think I had you in my top 50 and you went, yeah. I think you went exactly 50th, right?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Yeah.
When people were feeling, wait, they were like, wait, did the Chiefs just take somebody from Penn State? What just happened there?
The smart ones. Yeah.
No, this is awesome. Eric, you are fantastic. And what a treat to have you and for our listeners to get to hear it, not just see it in writing or on a tweet, but to hear your voice going through all this stuff, because you're amazing at this. So thanks for joining us.
Oh, you're too kind. It's a pleasure. I love hopping on with you guys. Like I said, it's our annual little draft tradition. So let's keep it going another year. And I'm looking forward to April 27th.
Absolutely. Well, if you enjoy this show presented by Bet Online, please subscribe. We're available on your favorite directories, iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, Luminary, and TuneIn. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week.